Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
But I just want to give you this bit of hope. Things are in a constant state of flux. And God does things behind the scenes. And when things seem hopelessly in one way, we see that God ends up doing something completely different. So don't lose hope, but put your trust in God.
God is always working, even when we can't see it, even when our circumstances don't change, even when we see this world embracing evil, declaring that killing babies in the womb is okay, redefining what a man is and what a woman is. Despite all that, God is still on the throne, and He will not be mocked. With part two of our teaching out of 2 Samuel 7, 18 through 29, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There's not a thing in this that God didn't speak to Israel that He didn't speak in other places to us. So we read it in context to Israel, but knowing that God has given us similar promises in many places, here's what God says to the nation of Israel. "For I know the thoughts that I have thought towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you will seek for me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." The Bible tells us that God has thoughts towards us continually. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, this was spoken to Jeremiah before he was being formed in the womb. God says, "I knew you." And of course, this speaks so much to our day on the issue of abortion. I believe still it is the issue of our day. And even though the polls say that the majority of Americans want abortion to be, here's their terminology, they want safe health care for women. That's what abortion is to them. They reword it to be something else. And so if you were to put out a poll and ask us in this room, the majority of whom I think are against abortion, if you were to ask us, do you think that healthcare should be safe for women, legal and safe for women? I would respond yes to that. But they're saying something different about it. And so the polls say that this year there's going to be votes in several states that are going to make abortion legal up until the time that a child is viable, or up until the time a child is born. But I just want to give you this bit of hope. Things are in a constant state of flux, and God does things behind the scenes. And when things seem hopelessly in one way, we see that God ends up doing something completely different. So don't lose hope, but put your trust in God and be praying about this. And let's see what God does. Let's see in what way God could move. But David reflected on the fact that God knew him, and yet God was doing this. And then in verse 22, he ends up in praise, which shouldn't surprise us. When God has done this great thing for him, he begins to praise him. And I love that this is spontaneous for David. David's a songwriter. He's a worship leader. So this is spontaneous for him. Verse 22, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all we have heard with our ears." One of the things that they had said in this show about Moses, it's kind of a documentary, a docudrama kind of a thing. And one of the things that they had done was interview a professor from somewhere. And the professor said, back in their day, the idea of multiple gods, there was no idea of one true God. There was the idea of multiple gods, and that Israel was serving one God among other gods. And there are some passages that will say things like that, that'll say that God is above all other gods. And so you can listen to the professor and go, well, that sounds like certain passages would say that's right. But what he ignores completely is other verses that says, there is no other God beside you. Or the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." That's exactly what David says here. I found it interesting after watching that the other night, that here in verse 22, "Therefore you are great, O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you." He's not saying you, God, are the God among gods. He's saying there is no God beside you. Paul said this, All of those who worship other gods are worshiping demons. It's not that there aren't spirits behind the false gods, but they are demonic. And so there is no God besides God. And then he says, according to all that we have heard with our ears. So he breaks out in praise. When God does things for us, or even when he says no, he is still worthy of our praise because God's doing something better. How do we know that? We talked about it last week. The verse that we all know very well, that God uses all things to work together for the good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that God causes all things, but that causes all things to work together for the good. He takes what is even bad and what is even meant as evil against you, like Joseph and his brothers, and God turns it into good, and he is worthy of our praise. So Psalms 145:3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. We just can't grasp or comprehend the greatness of God. Psalms 150:2 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And 1 Chronicles 29:11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. I'm so thankful that we take opportunities to be able to lift God up in praise and worship here. Worship is more than just the singing. We gather together in worship. We fellowship in worship. We study his word in worship. But praise, lifting him up, exalting his name, since the church was created, has been a part of what the church does and will be something we will continue to do. Then David says in verse 23, and who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds in your land, before your people whom you redeemed for yourself in Egypt, the nations and their gods, for you have made your people Israel your very own people forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. David thinks beyond himself and that the throne of David will be leading the house of Israel and that God said someone will be sitting on the throne of David forever. You and I, as part of the church, according to Romans chapters 9 through 11, have become part of Israel. People teach that the church replaced Israel, but that's just a wrong theology. If you read those verses carefully in Romans 9 through 11, you see that God is still the God of Israel. It was there that Paul said, I would be accursed for my brethren's sake. They are still Israel. And I, for one, never thought that I would see the day with the anti-Semitism that we're seeing today. With what's happening in college campuses, with the lives of Jews in America being threatened. Think back to all that we learned about World War II, about what Hitler did, about the concentration camps, and the things that the Jewish people endured. The bigotry, the racism, the anti-Semitism, and to think that it has returned today in wholeheartedness in a new generation, in a generation that doesn't seem to care about these things in the past, that would hate racism when it's towards one person, but embrace it towards someone else? Why do people hate the Jewish people so much that in a day that we have rejected racism, racism will be picked up by a whole new generation of people and touted on our universities, and Jewish students be attacked by them? I never thought we'd see the day. If you're from my generation, I know you feel the same way. You thought about those things and we thought they would never happen. And maybe if you're younger, you feel the same way about that as well. Someone's stirring the pot for these kids. They're being greatly misled to go against Israel. Listen to what God said to Abraham about building the nation of Israel. I want you to remember that Israel was not a nation that God chose. He didn't look out in the world and go, which nation do I want to use to bring the Messiah into the world? God created a nation, Israel, to bring the Messiah into the world. God created people who today are known as the Jewish people to be the people that the Messiah would have come from. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 11 that God's going to save them all. The Bible talks about a revival among Jewish people one day where they receive Jesus as their Messiah. So Genesis 12, 2 through 3 says, I will make you a great nation. Speaking of Abraham, it's just Abraham. Someone asked me if Abraham was Jewish one time. It's like, he wasn't Jewish. Out of him came the Jewish people. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, God says to Abraham, and you shall be a blessing. Did you notice that he said? And then he says, I will make you a great nation. So just pause and think that through. He's going to take Abraham and he's going to make him into a great nation. What is the nation that he made them? Israel. Now, do I need to say that Israel today as a secular nation is not doing everything that we agree with or doing everything the way that God wants it to be done? We're not saying that in any way, shape, or form. What we're saying is there shouldn't be any bigotry towards any people group anywhere, including the Jewish people. That's what we're saying. And that for this particular people, they were blessed because the Messiah came out of them. And God made Abraham a great nation. And then he says, I will bless you and I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And then he says, I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. We want to bless Israel. That doesn't mean I agree with everything Israel's doing. I certainly believe in their right to do what they're doing because they were attacked on October 7th. Recently, they've talked about a peace treaty that was rejected by Israel. Israel wasn't even at the table. Hamas came up with a peace treaty with Egypt and then gave the peace treaty to Israel and said, accept it. Don't forget, there was a peace treaty in place on October 7th, 2023, when 1,200 Jews were killed, murdered, men, women, children, women raped. Hamas is held up about less than 200 miles away from Israel. I'm going to say 150 miles from Jerusalem is where Hamas is right now. And if Israel backs away and doesn't clear out Hamas, it would be like leaving someone that wants to see the United States destroyed in place somewhere in New Mexico. I don't think I'm stretching things to say this. It's demonic. It is Satan who wants this bigotry, which is accepted by people that have claimed to have fought bigotry forever. 1 Peter 10, 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation. This is speaking to us. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are a people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So just like God chose the nation of Israel, the Messiah was brought out of them, and God is not going to forget them, but God's going to redeem them as a nation. God also has redeemed us out of the world, and we have come together to be a church that is a chosen generation. David finishes up his statement with this, verse 25. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. Now, I love how David ends this. In humility and calling out to God and in praise, he says, now, God, do what you said. You said this, now do it. We might find that a bit disrespectful of David. Do the very thing you said you'd do. But I don't think it's ever disrespectful to God to say, Lord, you said you would do this in your word and to claim the promises of God's word. The Bible is full of thousands of promises that we can claim. And when we pray, Lord, you said this, Would you do it? Let me read it again. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant, that's David, and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. Now, a couple of things that we should consider about this. David says, you made a promise to me by the throne of David and to my family. He's the family of Jesse, but he's from the tribe of Judah. When Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, attacked Israel and took it, the villages of Israel, the cities of Israel, the people from Israel went from the north of Israel, went south into Judah, and they went to Jerusalem. And Hezekiah opened up the gate. Now, many of them fled to Egypt at that time, and many of them were killed by Sennacherib. But many of the 10 tribes went up into Jerusalem. And the Bible says in that day, Hezekiah expanded the walls of Jerusalem. So the people came and lived there. So you've heard people talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. There really are no 10 lost tribes. There were all 10 tribes that were represented there in Jerusalem. We see Issachar mentioned in the New Testament. We see Benjamin mentioned in the New Testament. But the word Jew or Jewish comes from the word Judah. So when we say they are Jewish people, we're specifically speaking of the tribe of Judah. Now, it's become synonymous with the entire group of Israel. Wherever you have tracked them in the world, wherever they have gone, and this has been done, and all DNA sequencing has been done. Jewish people that lived in Europe and Jewish people that stayed in the Middle East and Jewish people who lived in Africa and different parts of the world, DNA has been tracked to bring them all back to the same people group. So we know they're all there. And there are these different markings that are there. But today we even know them by the Jewish people, which is a reference to Judah. And then he goes on to talk about Israel. So not just my family, Judah, but also Israel. And then he says the very last line, therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer. May we find it in our heart to claim the promises that God has given us. It says in 2 Peter 1:3-4, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We live by the very promises of God, even as David is asking to do. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Finally, David prays this way. He prays for God's blessing. And now, O Lord, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised its goodness to your servant. Now, therefore, let it please the Lord to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord, have spoken it, and with your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever. I don't know what's in store for the nation of Israel, but I know that they will still be a nation in the end, that they will be standing at the end of the age. Who knows who will be standing, but we know Israel will be standing. The last thing he did was focus on God's blessing. You and I are living under a blessing as well in so many ways. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and those who hope in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots of the river and will not fear when he comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease in the yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. David prays for the blessings of God. Psalm 38:4 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. You are blessed when you put your trust in God. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work." We are living in that blessing as well. Now, three things in closing. Number one, God always has a reason for saying no. We might not understand it. We might not like it. It may be devastating, but God's got a plan. And we can always put our trust in Him, even when He says no. Number two, the humble heart is the blessed person, the one who will humbly speak to God, humbly interact with Him. And finally, a little rhyme for the end. The attitude of gratitude changes everything in our lives. If you find yourself down and out and just not lifted up at all, tonight, when you lay your head on your pillow, begin to find things to thank God for. You will find that you will be lifted up. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this time that we've been able to look at the way David responded. And we thank you that he didn't take a baseball bat and beat a model up. This is so much better than that. As he pours out his heart to you in so many different ways, Lord, there's such depth to David's response and how powerful that is. And Lord, we thank you that we can respond to you when you say no, knowing that you have something better in store for us. It may not be better in the temporary, but it will certainly be better in the eternal, because you said you cause all things to work together for the good to those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we trust in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. I want to bless you before we go. I want to use the couple of verses that I've been using for a little while now that I've taken from the New Testament and put them together to bless you with them. "Now unto the King eternal, and unto the King immortal, and unto the King invisible, the only wise God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, I bless you in His name. I put you in His hands. I pray He'd fill you with the Spirit and open up opportunities for you to be able to share your faith. May you be like David. And even when things don't go the way you want them to go, you could step back and go, and yet I will praise you. I will lift up your name and I will exalt you."
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.